and more likely to blame myself rather than see what was clear. It made me pretty angry. And not only for me, but for some of my colleagues. What was acceptable for men was not acceptable for women, particularly in terms of being assertive. And I would say that's better now, but it's still periodically an issue. I think there's still a fair amount of sexism in medicine. You had asked earlier if being a lesbian was an issue. When I came back in the 70s, I was semi-closeted, particularly at the hospital. But that didn't last long. It just, I had sort of made the decision it wasn't worth it, and that that if there were people that didn't like it, it was their problem. And it did not seem as much of an issue as being female. Now, it may have been, but people didn't talk about it. But it did take a number of years before they started covering my partner's health insurance. And that happened before we were able to get legally married. What happened, I think, was there were clearly enough of us that if they wanted to be able to hire good people, whether it was a surgeon's, nurses, whatever, that they needed to do that. And but that probably didn't start until 10 to 15 years ago.
Was that ever a problem in Cooperstown or this area?
I suspect for some people it is, and probably still is, but it hasn't seemed to affect what I do that much. So if it is, it's their problem.
And I know that you're part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
How is that?
Well, again, I think the church has grown over time. When I came, I joined the church in part because it was clearly the most socially active and politically active church. The longtime pastor had hired one of the women who were coming out and having difficulty finding positions other than youth ministry or education, and took a cut in salary and shared his salary with her, as well as had her live there with he and Jean. So there were both issues about being a female and being gay. And certainly, initially, I could not hold office in the church. Pretty early on, before the church as a whole took a stance that we are all equally children of God, and hence equally able to participate in the church. The church here in Cooperstown did. So we've been what's called a More Light Church for some time. And I understand we are now known as the church with the rainbow flag. So at this point, I think that it's clearly not an issue in the church, or, well, I shouldn't say that. It's an issue that's seen as a justice issue. We would call a gay pastor. At this point, the pastor that we have is not gay, but is a woman. We've had a number of marriages in the church, including Katie and my second celebration. I've been on the session, which is the governing body, as has Katie, as have others. So at this point, it is not so much an issue as a thing for justice and celebration. So,
how has Bassett changed since you first started?
Well, when I first started, it was Bassett, Mary Imogene Bassett Hospital. It was 180 beds, which is still what we are, but there were no other hospitals affiliated with it. There were, at that point, I think, 3 or 4 nurse practitioner primary care practices out in the community. Now it's Bassett Healthcare. There are, in addition to Cooperstown, there are 5 other hospitals. There are about 20 other practices. It's much larger. Has a lot of the issues of healthcare everywhere in terms of growth. How do you grow? How do you change? How do you hire good people and then support them rather than micromanage them? So part of the change is change that is Bassett, but part of the change is what's happening in healthcare in general. And unfortunately, you had mentioned the healthcare industry before. When I came, you didn't advertise. There weren't advertisements about medications. There weren't advertisements, come to my practice. So it became much more of an industry, and I think that has been a problem. You know, ironically, the last time that I think we had a chance of single-party payer, which is what most other countries, other developed countries have, or known as without health insurance, was back when Nixon was in office. And unfortunately, nothing happened with that. And I think at this point, the amount of money that's involved in insurance, in big pharma, and in big medicine is making it very difficult to change how medicine functions, and it's functioning much more as an industry rather than as a service or a right or however else one can think about it. So those are indeed some of the ethical issues that are there as well. What do you do when people don't have insurance? Used to be you cost shifted. Now you can't cost shift. And what will happen if Obamacare is rescinded? What's, 40,000 people that didn't have insurance, will that go away?
Do you think that there are any ways to improve the healthcare industry?
Yes. But they would take a lot of political capital. And I don't... Obama came in hoping to change it. What we have is very much of a compromise, and part of the cost of the compromise was not taking on big pharma, not negotiating cost of medication. Part of it was not really taking on big insurance. And now we have big IT. I think that it's going to be really tough to change. I don't hear any policy from Trump at this point other than get rid of Obamacare. And that is frightening. On the other hand, clearly, Obama was not able to do all the changes he wanted, so hopefully Trump will not be able to do all the changes he wants.
So you have an active role in your church.
Yes, and we have flies in here.
Do you think that that's really improved your quality of life in the Cooperstown community?
Absolutely. And I think it also, I think what the church community has done for me is to remind me and give me support, remind me that materialism is not the ultimate goal, getting rich is not the ultimate goal, getting power is not the ultimate goal, that being loving, making a difference in people's lives is much more of the goal. And I think having a community around to remind you of that is very helpful. And even I just had surgery. Katie had to be away. It was primarily friends and church family that brought me food, stayed with me, made it possible for Katie to teach down in New York City while I was recuperating.
How has your faith affected your medical career?
Very much, because it really, I see it as a calling, not just a job. And I see it as a calling to be loving, to make a difference in people's lives. That was part of choosing primary care, but at the time I chose primary care, many more people were choosing it. Now, very few people are choosing it, unfortunately. Certainly, I think it's helped me have the strength to not burn out, to remember that medicine is more about people than it is about money and power, and teaching likewise. So I think it's had a lot to do with both my quality of life and how I do medicine.
Do you see a lot of other doctors or nurses, people in the medical industry, burn out, so to say?
Well, burnout is a big issue at this point, and that's part of the reason few people are going into primary care. I left primary care primarily because I wanted to do palliative care and get a palliative care program going. But I think had I stayed in primary care, I was certainly at risk of burning out. There's so much emphasis on, something called, well, on seeing a lot of people, something called RVUs, relative value units, sort of our widget measuring. And I think the risk of burning out got a lot worse when electronic medical records came in. It was supposed to solve all sorts of problems, but one of the things that it did was to shift secretarial duties onto clinicians, whether it was docs, nurses, nurse practitioners, PAs. So it added an hour and a half to 2 hours to our days from the get-go. And it hasn't gotten a lot better. Now they're doing things like having scribes, recognizing that it really is a waste of a clinician's time to do all of that stuff. I think that plus all of the emphasis on seeing a lot of patients, not necessarily seeing them well, Fewer people are in private practice. I never wanted to be in private practice. That was actually one of the things that I liked about Bassett, that I did not have to do that. But now most clinicians behave, and most healthcare systems behave, you know, as though they are as businesses, and forget that the bottom line is patient care. Rather, you know, I'm not foolish enough to think that you don't have to. You have to make your bottom line in order to continue to care for patients. But it's very clear that, you know, it's moved over to administrators instead of being there to help us do our jobs, see themselves as running us as widgets oftentimes. And that the business of medicine is sort of overshadowing the call and the care. And if we don't do that, we shouldn't be doing it.
And why did you not want to be in private practice?
Oh, I really did not want to have to do the business end of things. And now I have to do a lot more of the business end of things. If you don't do it, then you're at the mercy of someone who's not a clinician at all. So I was happy not to do the business end of things. And I wanted to, you know, Bassett, for all of its blemishes, will never turn someone away for care. They'll go after them to get paid, but they won't turn someone away for care.
Earlier you talked about being the first doctor associated with Bassett, but outside of
Cooperstown. Outside, yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh, well, everyone else's clinic was, every other physician's clinic was in Bassett Hospital in Cooperstown when I had my office out in Richfield Springs. Now there are far more primary care docs with their offices outside of Bassett. So it was really getting past Bassett as sort of a very special community hospital. But Bassett, from not so much from the get-go, but when it was built for Mary Imogene Bassett by one of the Clarks, then sort of fell on hard times, and it was after World War I that some young Turks from Columbia came up and decided this would be a great place to do not only great patient care, but teaching and research. And to have that going on in a rural area was very unique. You know, has changed over time. We no longer do bench research, but back in, before I came, some of the basic work in doing bone marrow transplant was done here. So we still try to do all three things. And I can't remember what you had just asked.
You answered it. Okay. It's okay. So you talked about your family earlier. Mm-hmm. Are you still really close with them?
Yes. You know, one of the good things about being in Cooperstown is it's a sophisticated enough small town that it's very accepted that Katie and I are family, both at church and in the community and at work. But I'm also very close to my blood family yet, most of whom still live in Ohio. My mom is 98, lives out there, just moved from the house I grew up in to assisted living, and I try and get out once a month. My older sister just died about 2 years ago. My younger sister's still there. There are four nephews. Katie and I decided not to have kids. And now a couple of great nephew and a great niece. So, and then there's the larger Beachy family. We used to get together every other year as a larger Beachy clan. That sort of fell on hard times when Mary got really sick, and now we're sort of at that place where a lot of the cousins that are my age are having health issues and we're having to figure out how can we start getting together again. But yes, we're still quite close as a family.
And what has changed in the Cooperstown area since you first came here?
Well, one of the big changes is a loss of farming, small farms. Within the first 10 years, I think, of starting out in Richfield Springs, I just watched farm after farm after farm go under. Now, interestingly, there is some rejuvenation there, and it's either, you know, there are Amish that are moving up, and then there's niche farming. And God bless Chobani. Oh, dear. She almost caught a bird. So less farming, more tourism, having the summer Dreams Park here has changed it a lot. It's taken away any affordable rental housing. Most of the money that's made off of that goes out of the community rather than stays in the community. Like other places, it's hard for young people to find work here unless, you know, the big employers are tourism and healthcare. And so luckily healthcare is using more people, but many of them can't afford to live anywhere close. I think those are some of the changes I've seen. I think it's always been a interesting and somewhat more sophisticated community. When I got here, there was a lot of music going on and amazingly little places, and there was something called Meet the Composer that Carlton Clay put grants together, and he would bring up Thompson, Glass, you know, these first-rate composers to do their, you know, music in these tiny venues. So in that sense of having musicians, writers, etc. around, that hasn't changed, but losing much. You know, right now downtown is primarily tourism, and that was different when I came. There was always tourism, of course, but it was more a small town, you know, with small town industries or stores. So it's more tourism.
Do you think that the switch from farming to tourism has at all affected your work at Bassett?
Yeah. And there's still enough farming going on. So one of the really amazing pieces of Bassett is the I can't even remember what it's called now, but the farm safety piece of Bassett. So there's still work with farmers. I think Bassett would have grown, it would have either grown or become just a community hospital as part of someone else's organization, whether or not there had been the switch from farming to tourism.
Is there anything that was here when you first arrived that is no longer here that you really miss?
Oh, there were clothing stores that weren't quite as niche as the ones that are here now. What else? Well, various restaurants have come and gone. I think the big thing is the loss of rental properties and affordable housing. And that's a problem. And I don't see the community really struggling with that yet. I think Old Forge has put some properties into some sort of I don't remember what it's called, but it essentially keeps them in affordable housing by doing tax incentives and tax rebates. Hello. What's gone?
Okay.
And then certainly people that I was close to. But some of my mentors from when I was an intern are still around, and that's pretty neat. And to know that I'm in that role now with a lot of my residents. So
I think we've got time for one more question. So how about we do the flip side? Is there anything that you've seen since you've been here that's sort of grown up that you're really excited about?
I think it's pretty neat that there's more of an out gay community, and particularly at church. I think Bassett still has the real potential for doing some exciting things. You know, we did we did some really creative stuff 40, 50 years ago. Now we need to continue to do some really creative stuff besides grow big. I think the Glimmerglass Festival is a really amazing thing that's come, and Glimmerglass Film Festival that's going to be this weekend. More attention to the environment is another important thing. It's good to see the CGP program still here and growing. Not sure what else I would say.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.